Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. I'm the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. This is episode number 27 of the EBNP. Our guests are Brock Rollins and James Van Steenkist, co-founders of Radiance.gg. It was our privilege to have Brock and James on the show to walk us through Riot's new first-person shooter game, Valorant. They explained to us how top-ranked players in the game are defined as Radiant, hence why they chose to name their platform after the best players of the game. We discussed how their platform is going to improve the play of competitive Valorant, provide an extra level of community to the game, and take some of the complexity out of the learning curve to perfecting the game. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
To open up this podcast, I like to, you know, ask the guests to, the first formal question is, how did you guys get into gaming? And where to start off? So maybe we start with Brock. What was your introduction into video gaming, and how did you get into the space?
I started quite a long time ago. I remember kind of hanging out in arcades. My first kind of, you know, serious game interaction was with Twisted Metal on the PlayStation. I loved that game, finished it, and just haven't looked back. I've been playing games forever. But just recently came into esports through this project, Radiance.gg.
Awesome. And how about you, James? How did you get into gaming?
Yeah, so similar story. I was lucky enough that I grew up with computers at my fingertips. So my parents always made sure that technology was available, and that kind of sparked interest in me. So back in elementary to high school, I remember playing Counter-Strike Source, and then that transitioned to a bit of Call of Duty, and I actually played a little bit of Call of Duty in the competitive scene, won some prize money, and that kind of fueled my, you know, my interest into competitive video games on the PC. So that's kind of inspired me to create business opportunities and look how I can progress the esports industry.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm always love hearing about news stories and people's different stories on how they got into it. So Brock, you started off as sort of a console gamer with the Twisted Metal stuff.
Yeah. So I started with the original PlayStation, you know, and, just couldn't get enough. So, been gaming for years and years and years. Recently, I picked up Stadia. It's great, kind of game anywhere. We have a Switch. You know, my wife loves all the Nintendo games. I regularly get beaten at Mario Kart. you know, it's just part of life, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And James, you kind of started off as a desktop or a PC gamer. That's interesting. What was that like?
Yeah, so I've never had anything but PC, for the good or bad, I guess. It was just, I think growing up, my parents weren't a super fan of video games, or weren't receptive to the idea of letting me and my brother have access to an Xbox. But they liked the idea of us tinkering around with computers. So that kind of just led into us, you know, pushing them to get better hardware and us playing video games when they weren't looking. that's just continued from then.
Yeah. So I can tell I'm from the lower 48 and you guys are from up there in Canada. Is that right?
Yep. That's right.
What do you think the main difference is between like growing up in Canada and video gaming community and the community in the US?
You know, I think it's sort of hard for me to say. I like my experience, you know, with video gaming is like, I just kind of got drawn towards people who like playing video games. And, you know, so I can remember, you know, going over to a friend's house on a Friday night, you know, getting snacks and watching somebody else play Command and Conquer, right? Like, it was just kind of like just hanging out, just kind of, that's what we did. You know, we played co-op, we played, you know, fighting games, everything. It was just kind of, I think instead of getting in trouble or doing other stuff, we were playing video games as much as possible.
Yeah, it's a bit of part of like the Generation X, Y, and Z's adolescence. It's like a very integrated portion. And what about you, James?
I think I would I'd piggyback on the stereotype. I remember in high school and even now, looking through Facebook, there's a lot of people playing Chell. So I don't know if that's just a Canadian thing, but I would imagine, you know, the population here is percentage wise more on NHL than the average American. So I think that would be the main difference.
Yeah, that's an interesting one out there. I went to DreamHack Anaheim at the beginning of last year, and the I think they were playing NHL there, and it was pretty interesting to see it had some exposure to like a competitive scene. I wasn't, you know, even we're tracking that. I knew Madden and NBA 2K, but NHL popping up is pretty interesting. And so what do you guys, what pushed you guys to like getting into the business portion of it? What was the first thing? Did you guys have some experience before you started moving on the venture with Radiance?
Do you want me to? So
you go ahead.
So yeah, I was kind of the driving force at the beginning. So last summer when Valorant was in beta and coming to full release, being a Counter-Strike player, I kind of knew the ecosystem and the tools and the services that existed previously for Counter-Strike, and I really wanted to help push the envelope and make those possible for Valorant. And also I knew at the same time that Riot has a fairly good track record with providing data access with their video games, so developers can take and run with it and create these, you know, awesome integrated tools. So that's kind of where my worlds collided. I'm a software developer by day and then a gamer by night, and I wanted those two things to come together, and that's how we kind of formed Radiance.
Rock, how'd you get into the project?
Basically, James tricked me. He said it was all fun. It was going to be amazing, but it started. I worked with James at a company, and we did regular sports tournament software. And then he approached me with this project, saying, "You know, I got a great idea. It has legs." And I said, "Hey, it was great working with you before. I'm all in." And so it's been months and months of fun. Yeah, like, and talking to people in esports, everybody's happy to talk to you. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. So for some of the audience that doesn't know like the dynamic behind Valorant, what is the, you know, Bayer, you know, Valorant for Dummies kind of like introduction to Valorant, and what's the value that Radiance brings to that community?
I'll start this off, James. So I'm a gamer, but I've played a lot of other kinds of games like Borderlands 3, Assassin's Creed. I'm not one for the sort of heavy tactical first person shooter. So, you know, at its core, Valorant is, you know, about shooting, about aim. So that's a key part of what you need to do and the skills you need to have. But there's also sort of a game sense and an awareness of where people are going to come an attack, how people are going to move on the map, and sort of a learning on when you should maybe hang back or circle around or you know, look to kind of rush a site. And when I was trying to learn Valorant, and James was patiently teaching me, when we looked at all the other sites around there, a lot of them just kind of take the in-game stats and put them on a page, add some banner ads and say, you know, you should get better, increase your headshot percentage, and then leave it at that. And so for me, it was, I wanted something that I could be like, hey, I understand this. I can get better. I can, you know, use my valuable gaming time to more effect, to have more fun with friends, pull off cooler stuff, try new things, and not kind of grind it so hard. So Radiance is about trying to give players more fun, more time back through creating visualizations of data and kind of tools around showing them what happened and how they can get better.
Yeah, yeah. James, what about you?
Yeah, I can expand a bit. So we've had the pleasure of hooking up with Valorant's data. So coming from my background of someone who's gone pretty deep into tactical shooters in the past, I really want to take these tools that are already out there and take them to the next level. So kind of what Brock was saying, some of what we're doing behind the scenes includes like kill by kill playback, or looking into heat maps and statistical analysis for rank wide around gunplay, accuracy, and really starting to recommend through machine learning or artificial intelligence to players that use our system how they can improve, right? We want to take the guesswork out of these regurgitated numbers and start giving power back to the players around how they can improve. So that's kind of our goal, and it's a very ambitious one, but over the next year we hope to deliver something that starts to, you know, cut away some of the features we've been discussing.
So what's like the process for getting people who are maybe unfamiliar with Valorant familiar with Radiance so that they can also be effective and good at the game?
I think what we want to do is our goal is to kind of create what I'm kind of dubbing the academy. So basically just kind of bring people through sort of the basic strategies so more than just here's an ability or here's where I plant the nano swarm for Killjoy, but okay, well, you know, make sure you're not on a 3-on-1 attacking a site. Make sure, you know, understand the angles. Here's good positions. And we think we can really help people start to take that information in by putting it on the map in a visual way and not just kind of putting numbers on a page. So I think one of the things we learned very quickly is when we were experimenting with mapping was when we looked at, I think it was 50,000 kills on deathmatch mode, everybody was getting killed in the middle of the hallway. So, you know, pro tip, hug the walls. And it's just that kind of thing that when you see it, it makes it so much more accessible and makes more sense that we think there's a lot of things that we can do that just, you know, show people with the data and that's going to help them along. But we have plans on articles and content coming kind of the fall timeframe too that are going to help beginners start to get into the game or, you know, level up hopefully.
Absolutely. And so that education process is, I think, very valuable. And I think I want to know a little bit more. Why the name Radiance? What, I know there's a little bit of connection there, but maybe you can evangelize some of the people who are unfamiliar.
Yeah, so Radiance is the top rank you can achieve in Valorant. So if you play the ranked mode, and climb the ladder, the top tier players, all the professionals, would be considered Radiant level players. And that kind of goes into our vision and our mantra that we want to be able to take all players and not necessarily make them Radiant, but help increase and improve their gameplay and slowly get them to that direction of improving their game.
Awesome. And so when it comes to onboarding new users of the Radiance.gg platform, what sort of skill level do they need to start utilizing the platform?
So that's something that's kind of ongoing, but we want, as Brock was kind of mentioning in his last answer, we want it to be able to approach everyone of any skill level. There's going to be certain types of analysis that is obviously going to be tailored to more, you know, hardcore or regular players of the game, and other things that are more appropriate for casual players. But as we kind of refine our process, we want to be able to, for anyone to come on our site and feel like they're getting valuable feedback. So whether that's coming on and, you know, taking a look through our guides of how to play your agent and learning just the basics, or maybe you're coming in from a platinum level player who wants to increase positional awareness, look at like where the bomb's most planted and how often that plant spot, you know, successfully blows up versus is diffused by the enemy team, to even radiant level players. So we can say, hey, you're really good with this weapon, but you're falling short on this one. And if you're top tier, you need to be able to like round it out on all these different categories. So that's kind of our, you know, our end goal is that anyone of any skill level can come on and learn something.
Awesome. Yeah. And when someone discovers your platform, what sort of community engagement process are you guys working on right now? How are users able to kind of learn and connect with you guys in an authentic way on the platform?
Right now, our sort of main way to kind of get in touch with this is our Discord. So we're happy to answer questions, get feedback, talk to people through that or one of our social channels. You know, our plans include kind of engaging the wider community and getting everyone kind of discussing the game with us and through our platform. But right now, our launch date's February 1st, and we're launching with player profiles, your match details and sort of match history and a visualization there. So, you know, we had to kind of start small, but we wanted to get the site out there and get feedback from the community and see what they like and see what they don't like. And then they're going to help us grow.
Yeah, very cool. So now that you have sort of an organic, way of attracting people to the platform with, you know, their appreciation for the game Valorant, they're looking to improve their skill set, they're looking for a little bit more data around how they're performing in the game. What is the target client for you guys? Like, who are you looking to work with most? What market are you approaching first?
Well, I think we're going to engage with players by giving them not just sort of what you see in game, but some tools to kind of take a look and kind of replay the matches that they had, so they can kind of see what was happening outside of their field of view. So if they were on A site, what was happening at B site, or, you know, how that kind of action unfolded a little bit. And kind of we're going to kind of keep expanding those tools, but we're also talking to teams about how to help them get organized and give them tools that let them do a little bit of coaching, a little bit of analysis and strategizing. So, you know, taking the idea of a play-by-play and then being able to put agents' abilities and things like that and then share them, especially now with COVID and a lot of teams can't practice in the same place. So due to the remote aspect, we're looking at tools that can kind of help teams keep in contact and kind of work together even in a remote environment.
Yeah. And James, how does that, I know you're bringing in the professional portion of the esports competition. What is that going to do for professional players in Valorant?
Yeah, so to name some of the things, we've touched on some of them, but one of the biggest things is for the top level players is to be able to compare themselves, to compare themselves with themselves. So if you want to see how you've tweaked or changed small parts of your game, that's really where high level players are going to succeed, right? Because when you're at the top level, comparing yourself to see how much better you are than, you know, a gold level player doesn't really provide you anything except maybe an ego boost. But those top level players, they can be like, okay, how has my performance changed over the last 20 games? And have I noticed a difference? Or I just played a match and I thought I was really good on this agent. How does that compare to other Radiant level players when I play this agent? And continuing on with that, some of the further along stuff would be like Brock was mentioning with team play. So these high level teams, well, they'll be able to devise, like, see kind of what strats work and what don't. So that's kind of our, you know, long-term plans is capturing professional tournaments and then running these models we've created on the general base of users and applying them to professional level events to really allow teams to extract as much value out of the data that's there.
Yeah, as someone who doesn't play Valorant competitively, maybe you could speak to the analysis behind the in-game trackers within Valorant. Is there a reason why the competition gets to a certain level to where it's necessary for professional players to also hold like Smurf accounts and other accounts to differentiate between their Radiant and their, you know, you mentioned gold level. Is that something that's maybe where your tool can help out to kind of maybe connect more Radiant players together so that they're having more quality competitive competitions rather than playing against some of those, you know, botted accounts or something like that?
Yeah, so high tier players will definitely be able to find each other through our platform. Riot has made it very clear that they don't want any third parties making a matchmaking tool, so that would be never our focus, but definitely part of the social community aspect is finding other players in your skill bracket to then play in game with, as well as being able to analyze the full player base. We'll know who's smurfing and who isn't, right? When a player is brand new and is climbing very quickly and then, you know, potentially throwing a lot of games, we can kind of detect that and you know, maybe work with Riot in some cases, but that's not something that is, you know, on the top of our list to do, but kind of falls along the answer to your question there.
Well, and I also think Riot was excited to get Valorant out because of COVID. So I think we're going to keep seeing improvements from Riot in a lot of things like matchmaking to basically reduce queue times. And Riot's very committed to, you know, anti-cheat and trying to make the play fair for everyone. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot coming from Riot, so that Smurf accounts are less important and less valued by top level players, so that you know, the scene will start to clean up. Riot's also instituted the ability for players to protect their scrims, so that they can be marked as private, so they're not going to come through data tools, so that they can be sure that they can practice and try new strategies without them sort of being immediately available to the community and then sort of a little bit less useful.
Absolutely. And again, yeah, Valorant is a very new IP and there's going to be a lot of evangelism when it comes to changing over from other search and destroy games like Call of Duty or like CSGO. What are some of the highlights? Actually, a different question. Right now, if you're at Radiant level, about how many hours are you clocking into the game?
That's a good question. I don't know if I would have an exact number, but you would need to be a very regular player. Most likely, like I would be edging like 3 hours a day, I would imagine. It depends. I think it depends on your region as well as where it is in the season. Just we need to take a look at when players are playing and how much they're playing to really, you know, answer that question fully. But I would imagine that it's, you know, similar to compare it to other games. If you're Challenger or above in League, you're putting in a lot of hours. If you're Global Offensive in CSGO, you're putting in a lot of hours. So it's definitely equivalent to other games.
Yeah. And so I wanted to segue into kind of a question of like, what sort of features or tool sets are you going to be providing for Valorant content creators, more formally in the sense of like Valorant streamers for Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook?
So we're looking at how we can help content creators broadcast the fact of where they are, how competitive they are, what skill set they are, so that, you know, if I'm watching somebody and they're Radiant and I'm gold, and that I'm probably not even gold, but if I'm at that level, I'm not going to be learning the things I need to know watching a streamer who's that much better than me, because I'm not going to be able to take in all of their skills and then sort of apply it. So if I can find a streamer that's about the same level, then I, you know, the things that they're doing, I'll kind of understand a bit. Or, you know, I look at somebody platinum, so I have a little bit of aspiration saying, oh, I wouldn't have done that, but I see why they did that. So we're looking at how we can arm streamers with data and visualizations during stream to showcase where their abilities are, what they're good at, what they're not good at. So maybe, you know, people can see that, hey, he's not doing so great with the Sheriff, but, you know, he's really good with the Ghost Pistol. So, you know, I wonder how he's going to do because that's what he bought this round. So things like that, where we can kind of intermix the data with a stream, is something we're investigating, and making it so that the streamer and the people watching the stream have a better sense through sharing of the streamer's data with their audience.
Yeah, awesome. And that leads me to like a question of like, what are the main differences between a Call of Duty search and destroy, a CSGO search and destroy, and the economy in game within those two games and Valorant? And how is your company helping to educate based on the in-game economy?
Yeah, so Valorant and CSGO have very similar economies, and just very similar weapons in general. A lot of like the, you know, famous weapons from CSGO have direct equivalents in Valorant, and that leads to a very, you know, very similar paced type of game. So that what we want to do is not define economy rules like by hand by us. We want our analysis to take over and start recommending patterns for players. Definitely something we want in the future. We haven't, you know, gone down that route just yet. But for example, one of the big things that comes to mind is we can start to analyze how effective some of these pistols are. So famously in Valorant, through season one, it was kind of a meme that everyone was using the triple shot on the default pistol, which is the secondary fire mode. And a lot of players were jumping while they were doing that because the accuracy was very high. You could burst someone very quickly and it was no cost. It was free, the default pistol. So we want to take a look at like how effective that really is compared to a ghost in the hands of a top tier player, right? Is it better truly, or does it just feel better because it's being memed about, right? Is it just more popular because of the memes and you know, there's a couple really good streamers that know how to utilize it? So we want to try to cut through the, you know, the popularity and the assumption of that players and professionals make, and get down right to the stats around how you should be buying weapons, when you should be buying weapons, and working as a team to like maximize the economy per round.
Absolutely. And so while I was sitting there listening to you, I remembered that Valorant has a lot of flavors from other games. You know, I was thinking of Rogue Company, like a game that came out later. I was thinking about Overwatch, and I was thinking about, of course, the two I mentioned previously. But what is it about the skills, the traits, the functions that differentiate the game versus how you would play in Overwatch, and utilizing sort of the skills, or I might be calling it different. There's probably a different vocabulary for it, but yeah. The abilities.
A lot of people describe Valorant as, you know, a collision of CSGO and Overwatch, and it is a bit. I think it's closer to CSGO because Riot has stated that they always want gunplay to be first class. So Valorant is a tactical shooter first, and then an ability-based character game second. So what that means is, if you like CSGO, and I can't think of other ones that are very point-and-click tactical shooters, maybe like Rainbow Six Siege would be another good example. Those players will have an easy transition to the way the guns feel and play in Valorant. But then at the same time, you have this other aspect, which is throwing a lot of the professional CSGO players off, where you have to know an agent's loadout and kits of every player. You don't have, that's kind of where the Overwatch aspect comes in, where you have to know your character and your role, and timings of abilities, combos of abilities, and it kind of adds a different learning aspect. And it really shifts the meta up, having that, having Riot inject a new agent every 3-4 months, right? The game's never going to fall into kind of a stale mode, because the way players consider the meta will always be shifting with every update.
Very cool. And so I want to go into this, and I know, you know, this is the Esports Business Network. We'd like to talk about, you know, how a company got somewhere, how founders got to where they're at. But what is sort of each of y'all's roles in the process of building Radiance?
Go ahead, Brock.
So you know, James, he's the developer on our team. So he's all things technical. He's the one thinking through how we're storing the data, how we're moving the data, how we're looking at you know, upgrading the information we're getting to Riot, and you know, reparsing it and then saving it so it's easily accessible. Everything's fast, feels good. So he's the one, you know, late nights, early mornings, weekends, coding away, building the site up. So that leaves me with kind of all of the business functions, as it were. So reaching out, making relationships, looking after the social, marketing, sales aspects of the business. So we've just kind of drawn the line there. You know, we talk a lot about what we're doing, how we're doing it. But I'm sort of looking sort of outside of the site and you know, talking to customers and partners, while James is focused on making Radiance.gg the Valorant destination.
Yeah, Absolutely. So, you know, in a startup, we kind of wear multiple hats. You both got like a CEO hat, a CTO hat, and a CMO hat for Brock and a CTO hat for James. What is it that you guys are looking for as far as, partnerships, activating with other companies, bringing other audiences into use your tools? What are you guys looking to grow the brand?
So right now we have some really great partnerships. We partnered with Gamers EDU and the CVL. So they have a great collegiate league. They have a whole bunch of universities and colleges in the US, as well as a couple Canadian ones who are undertaking qualification in the next couple of weeks for their next season. We're also working with the NECC, and they have a mix of American and Canadian universities involved. So we're working with them, building tools with them, and our some of our team are doing casting, during the broadcast and things like that. So it's really great that we can be involved sort of at the collegiate level with just people who are passionate about the game, the gameplay, and making everything better for the players. And we're also looking for partners who are kind of looking to use the Valorant data in sort of new and interesting ways. So Riot's been very clear that we can't put the player data behind a paywall. So anything that's kind of straight out of in-game is always going to be accessible and free to players. But when we start doing value adds or looking at kind of how we can maybe use the data for coaching and get coaches involved or other types of uses of the data, those are the partners that we're looking at to see what we can do, but always with the mindset that the players first, we want their experience to be better. And it's not just about straight monetization. It's got to be good. It's got to be fun. It's got to increase value for the community.
Absolutely. And so the business model sounds like Riot kind of prevents it from being a subscription model. Am I right or wrong by that?
I would say the basic profile always has to be free. But they've sort of carved out a space for companies to offer premium profiles. So, we've talked about having people customize their profile, add video clips, have kind of advanced analysis. But I think for right now, we're looking at all the things that we can do for the player. We're going to have free for the next little while. And we're going to concentrate on working with the teams and then having a premium subscription sort of at that level. So teams and leagues, who can get sponsorship or are a little bit more hardcore and looking for an edge, to play in tournaments that do have prize pools. That's where we're kind of looking for our kind of first monetization.
I see. And so you have a forward-facing original content that you're creating for Radiance?
That's in plan. We thought we'd be further along with that than we are. So the site launch on February 1st is going to be the player profile, the match history, the match details, and some match playback. But we think that's already more than some of the other competitors are doing in terms of being able to kind of have a little video of the match and play it back rather than kind of statically click through things and just have the in-game stats.
Gotcha. Okay. And can people who are users of the platform foresee a future where Radiance is collating or hosting tournaments within the Valorant ecosystem?
That's something we've talked about and we're exploring. We don't have a launch date for tournaments yet. Mm-hmm. But that's something that we're talking about. But right now we're working with collegiate partners to do that. But if any tournaments want to come to us and talk to us about data tools or about casting tools, we'd be happy to hear from any of them.
Awesome. And when you're talking about, you saw Gamers EDU, is that correct?
Yes.
So how did you guys form that partnership?
Just like anything in business, it's sort of a roundabout story. I was on LinkedIn, just talking to people in the community, talking to sort of people out there, and I met Official Chica is her brand name, but Gretin, and we started talking through LinkedIn, and she joined us, and she introduced us to Ruben Caputo, who's an academic advisor for CSU's Domingo Hills, and he introduced us to Gamers EDU, and their kind of concept is they want players to do well academically and also have fun. So their league is arranged around the student schedule. It's meant to not be onerous and crushing, but respectful of education, but give them skills in esports, and there's, you know, casting opportunities, there's production opportunities, and also bring the parents in so they can understand what esports is about. So there's a learning and education component for parents and the bigger community that's part of Gamers' idea and brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this kind of goes to James. I have a question for you, and I know we're wrapping it up here soon, but what do you think, how do you think collegiate plays a part in the furtherment of professional esports?
Yeah, I think this would probably, I'd share the sentiment that Gamers EDU have, and collegiate is kind of the funnel into it. So there's lots of people, lots of individuals, I don't have the stats, but in the US, a large percentage of people play video games, right? But we see that collegiate is kind of the funnel to get people into esports, into competitive video games, right? So taking, you know, kind of the business model and the structure that college sports already has and applying it to esports is how we further the esport industry and add more players while we're at it. So if we can, you know, raise awareness through college level players, then we see that as the best way to kind of grow organically, because they're all looking to get better at their game, and they are, you know, those are the prime users that we want to help to get better and to further their careers.
That's awesome. Do you see a thriving Valorant collegiate scene prospering in the course of the next couple of years?
Definitely. Do you want to expand on that, Brock?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think now with COVID and, you know, social distancing, esports is one activity that kind of can keep going and still kind of build momentum. We've talked to a bunch of different people, and, you know, there's a lot of universities and collegiates who are like, we really need to kind of catch up. We're a little bit late to the game on esports, and whether it's kind of a Smash Brothers tournament or a competitive first-person shooter, or, you know, Rocket League that is, you know, half serious, half fun. I think a lot of collegiate level programs are trying to figure this out. And, you know, it's not easy to kind of do that quickly at the university level, but we're definitely seeing a lot of Valorant teams pop up that didn't even exist in the fall. So we're seeing a lot of interest in Valorant at the collegiate level, and we're talking to...
Oh, we lost your audio.
Rock sounds like he cut out there.
I think we can get a consensus that we do see success in the Valorant scene in collegiate soon, and the sort of your partnerships are some that are going to pioneer that that movement. And since we're wrapping up here, I'd like to give you guys the opportunity to promote the platform and talk a little bit about more about that launch on February 1st.
Yeah, so planned launch is February 1st, but don't hesitate to sign up now. Our signup form is up, and you can request to be in the closed beta. So as we get closer and closer, we're allowing people in to give us feedback. You can follow all of our socials to keep up to date regarding our launch and our upcoming tools and new features. And hopefully, you know, over this 45 minutes, we've kind of convinced some people to, write us down on their calendar and sign up on our site and use us in the future. Because, I mean, we're excited to help serve the Valorant community and make people even more connected in the ecosystem.
Yeah, James, how can people connect with you online?
Yeah, so the best way to connect with me is to go to radiance.gg. There's a Discord icon and link on the bottom footer. And you can find me in the Discord server 24/7. Feel free to message me anytime if anyone has any interest, whether it's software related or Valorant related or gaming related in general. Always happen to field questions.
Awesome. And Brock, how can people get contact with you?
I'm also on the Discord server, maybe 20 out of 24 hours a day. But also, if anybody wants to reach out, LinkedIn, if you search Brock Rollins and Radiance, I'd be happy to accept any connection requests and chat about business, esports, software development, where we're going, tools, innovation, or just say hi.
Awesome. Thank you guys for coming onto the show. Again, this has been Brock and James of Radiance.gg, and this has been the Esports Business Network podcast. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, y'all, it's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.ebn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our Bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the Bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.